Now another episode of What Dumb Guys Think about KFUO's 90 days celebration of 90 years of gospel broadcasting.
You know, Matt, I do have to say that things have really improved since we've moved into the new studios here at the Synodical Center here in Kirkwood, Missouri.
Well, sure, at least we're not recording in dumpsters anymore. Yeah. Well, we don't have to climb up the tower to do our broadcasting.
That's right. We've got the latest technology, state-of-the-art equipment. And what I have to appreciate most is they finally gave Wrestling with the Basics their very own studio.
Well, yeah, it's nice that we don't have to share our facilities and we can record whenever we like. It makes up for the fact that it's a tad cramped in here.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I don't understand, Matt, is why when the janitor comes in to clean, he always leaves his mop bucket in our studio.
Well, at least it gives us a place to sit.
Yeah, and it's nice that they leave us plenty of supplies as well, although I'm not sure what we need with a 10-gallon drum of floor stripper.
You never know, John, and it's just good to have a place of our own. So, say we one last time.
Happy 90 years of gospel broadcasting. Let's try one more time.
Yeah, that was really pathetic, wasn't it?
It was. All right, 1, 2, 3.
Happy 90 years of gospel broadcasting, KFUO.
I wonder if it's the fumes from the paint.
It must be. I'm feeling a little light ahead of myself, more so than you.
We're on a mission from God.
Now for something completely different.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukowski from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And with me is
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful St. Louis Hills in St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is
Wrestling with the Basics, the first episode for 2015.
That's right.
Exciting.
Happy New Year. And at least we know now what the problem is. It's the fumes from the floor
that's
stripper.
That's what it's been.
That explains everything, doesn't it?
Blame it on the fumes. That's right.
Well, anyway, yeah, we do wish everybody a Happy New Year. Hope you had a very blessed Christmas. I know Matt and I did. What'd you do for Christmas, Matt?
I ate pie. Lots and lots
yes,
of pie.
Yes, with a special snowman pie, what do you call it?
Server.
Pie server,
right? Yeah.
That we bought you for
yeah,
Christmas.
It was
good.
Wonderful. Yeah, this is wonderful, delicately wrapped pie server from Lukowski.
Yes.
So thank you so much. And the best part about getting a pie server is it's an excuse to make pie.
That's right.
Or for my wife. To make pie.
For your wife to make
so
pie.
Thank you,
yes.
Lisa.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
And we had just a wonderful trip up to Minnesota and went and saw our family up there. And, of course, had a nice Christmas here with my family, who all happen to live in New Athens, Illinois.
Oh,
what a happy
how convenient.
Coincidence is that. Yeah, yeah. But now we want to pick up the whole topic of worship again. We haven't done that for a month. We've been gone, and we were doing some other. We had our Christmas special. So I don't even remember where we left off. Do you remember where we left off,
last
Matt?
Time we had talked about the sermon, and we discussed the sermon quite
right.
a bit. So really,
okay. Before we go any further,
sure,
could I ask you a
please.
Question? I wanted to ask you this when we did that. I didn't get around to it. How do you prepare your sermons? What do you have a particular process that you go through in terms of preparing your sermons? Or
sure. Well, first I listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
That's right. All you pastors out there, hey, we can save you some time.
Well, and
just
I figure
listen.
I can only get better, so.
That's right. You've got to have a place to start,
that's
right?
That's right.
And then you progress from there, you grow
from there.
Yes.
No. Yeah. No, for sermon preparation, you know, one of the key things for me, you know, as funny as it sounds, is just to start early.
Yes.
I mean, if I start maybe first thing Monday morning after the weekend's over, and at the very least, just look over the text itself. You know, I find for me at least that's so helpful because you know what the Bible verses are we're going to be reading this weekend in worship, and for me that just causes me to look at everything through the lens of that text, those
awesome.
Bible readings for the rest of the week, my own life, movies I watch, commercials I hear on the radio, just everything through that text, kind of to just let it simmer throughout the week.
And you know, let me throw in, I think when people study their Bibles at home, that's such a great insight, Matt. Because unfortunately, I remember as a layman, I would just read the Bible because that was my duty. Mm-hmm. You know, it was my responsibility. Yeah. Okay, I got to do this chapter. But I think that's a really great way to read the Bible. Take that chapter and then think about it all the rest of the day or maybe even the rest of the week. And does this chapter impact anything that's happening? Or can I see some insights on the basis of the Scripture? But see it as something that God really is trying to talk to you about, what's going on in your life right here and there.
Yeah, and I think it really shapes us to look at our world with through that lens of God's word, kind of from that Christian perspective, as God's baptized people, to look at, you know, current events, to look at our family life, to look at my role as a husband, you know, on and on and on and on, in light of what God's word has to say. Yeah.
And I like that thought, that the word simmer you use, because I have the exact same experience. Sometimes I can't get at it on a Monday morning. Mm-hmm. That's my usual practice. And it always frustrates me if I can't, because it's something about that being in your head and meditating on it during that time period. It just seems like it's so much richer. Of course, maybe my church is saying, yeah, richer, you're going on for 45 minutes. Maybe you should just read it the week before or the day before. Yeah. But anyway, so anything else you use? Any other tricks or tools you have? Start early.
Okay. And then certainly other things too, to look at the original languages. We're blessed to know Greek and Hebrew, the original languages, the Old and New Testament, to look at insights there. Perhaps a certain word stands out. It's kind of neat to do a word study to look at it, maybe how that word's used, not just here in this passage, but maybe in that chapter, in that book, or from that particular writer of Scripture, or from Scripture as a whole, how is that word used? That I find that helpful, too.
Well, just like me with the word swaddling we talked about before we took our Christmas break. I'd never actually did a word study on that. Found out it's not really a very common word, but the one use it was in the Old Testament, where it's such a good thing to be swaddled and such a terrible thing not to be swaddled. But see, there you go. So those little words like that can bring all kinds of insights.
Yeah, and then looking at the context of where we're at, you know, in this, is it Christmas time, the season of Christmas? Huh? Is it Epiphany? What are we looking at? That plays into how you might preach the text. And I think to look at our world, too. What's going on in our world around us or in the life of the people that I'm preaching to and sharing God's word with? What's their specific circumstance, too? How might the Word of God inform their lives for this particular weekend? So
You mentioned that last month, how difficult it would be to just go to a different church and preach every week.
Yeah.
Because obviously the sermons are definitely influenced by the people that we have ministered to and cared for in the previous week. Anything else that really strikes you about it? Because then we'll move on to whatever is next. Because what is next after the sermon? I'm usually sleeping by that time. So, Pastor, can we collect the offering now?
I think that's the next thing we want to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But do you have any insights into sermon prep while we're on the topic? You know, what? Since you've been at this like 87 years or whatever it's been.
Thank you, Matt. It just tickles me that I have the same experience as you have, that you want to get at it early. You want to have a chance to contemplate about what's going on in life for you and for your members. And of course, like you said, just digging into it. It's just so much fun. And I'll tell you this, Matt, you have an exciting another 30 years when you finally catch up with me in the ministry, because it's amazing how every year there's something new. You thought you had it mastered. You thought you got everything you possibly could out of it. And then there's always some little insight, and you think, how could I not have seen that? You know, it's a joy. It's a living thing. Phillips, who wrote the Phillips translation, he said it was like trying to go in and rewire a house and the main was still on. You know, it's just that way. It's a living, alive thing. It's not a dead book, and there's always new things to shock us.
So what
do we do after we're done with the sermon? We woke up the pastor, and then what happens?
I'm not necessarily touch on every little thing we do in worship, but I do want to touch on, though, everyone's favorite part of the service, the offering collection.
That's right. Yeah. That's crucial. That's what we're there for, people. We can leave everything else out, but we have to have that offering.
Where two or three are gathered, an offering will be
collected. Must be collected. Yes.
But seriously, you know, having her... Yes. Yeah, very good. You know, having received forgiveness of sins, you know, yes, with the confession of absolution, having heard the word of God, we've been transformed. We've been transformed by the word of God. We've been forgiven. And so now with cheerful hearts, we give back to the Lord. We give back to the Lord's work. We give back out of the abundance of what he gave to us in the first place. And really, our giving of our offerings, our tithes, that is to an act of worship. I think very much an act of worship. You hear stories from missionaries and other places where, in Africa, for instance, the offering collection in a church, even a Lutheran church, you know, apparently, from what I understand, takes 15, 20 minutes because the people take their offerings and literally dance them up to the altar.
I've seen that.
You've seen it even.
That.
Isn't
yes,
that? And,
yeah.
And I think that's so amazing. You know, they view that giving of their offering really as an act of worship and thankfulness. In response of what all God has done for them. Now, for us, we probably do it a little more efficiently where you go to church, maybe just pass the plate. And
yes, if your ushers start dancing up the aisle, people would probably wonder.
But even still, it's hopefully for us, even though we just maybe put something in the plate, hopefully it's just as much an act of worship and thanksgiving and joy as someone who's dancing it to the altar. Because that's really what it is. As stewards of what God has given to us, this is certainly one aspect, one small aspect of our lives as God's stewards and his disciples, giving back to what the Lord has first given to us so that that offering can be used to make a difference, an eternal difference, literally, in the lives of individuals.
And I always like to emphasize that it's an act of love. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that mm-hmm. you're saying it's an act of worship because, yes, of course, love is also how we worship our God in our day-to-day lives. Because it is. The money you're given there is going to take care of the pastor. Some of it's going to go on and take care of missionaries where maybe they're dancing up with their gifts and offerings. Mm-hmm. But you've kind of touched my heart, man, because I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid, like maybe a lot of parts of the liturgy, the offering has become just another thing we do. It's this point in the ritual where it's done. Whereas you're right, it should be part of our worship. It should be an act of love, and we should be thinking about those things when we put our money in the offering plate and as it's hand forward.
Yeah, and it's a privilege, and in various places, God's promises to even pour out blessings upon us. You know, not necessarily monetary blessings or material things, but the blessings He gives to us in forgiveness and so many other wonderful gifts that are also part of worship. It really is a privilege to be able to give.
And I like the fact, see, I never really contemplated that because, again, that's where we take the offering is usually after the sermon, although there's some services in there where we do the prayer first and then we do the offering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's locked in.
Sure.
But it's always somewhere there towards the middle of the service. And I guess I never reflected on the fact that was probably by design to say, no, it's not like you pay your way and now we're going to give you the church service. No, we're going to give you everything up front. In fact, if you don't want to give anything, you don't have to give anything. But the pronouncement of the sins forgiven, the sharing with what God has to say to you in the Word, the preaching of the good news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that's all given you first. And then, as you said, we respond to that. And I never thought that's probably very wise that that's where we put the offering is in the middle, not at the beginning.
Yeah, I like that idea. So it's not based upon how good the sermon is then, huh? I thought that might be another reason.
Is that
right
why?
After the sermon.
Yeah, okay.
A little
so
long this week, Pastor.
That's right. But I do like the idea. It's not like, well, because, you know, if you go anyplace else,
it's not a cover charge, right?
That's right. They want the money up front.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any show until you've already bought the
sure.
tickets. But no, the church is, we'll give you the show. The show is for yours for free. Well, it's no show, is it? Hi, Craig. Craig's looking through the window here. I'm sorry. I'm so easily distracted. Anything else you want to say about the offering?
No, I think that covers the offering. Yeah.
Okay. So then what are we doing?
Well, then typically we start this what might be called the service of the sacrament. So we have the service of the word, the service of the sacrament, the service of the word. Of course, we have our scripture readings. We have the sermon that proclaims that word.
That's what the word's all about.
There you go. Yeah. And now we have what's been called the service of the sacrament. So this is a special part that now focuses, certainly the word is present still, but focusing on the Lord's Supper in particular and the gifts that God gives to us in Holy Communion.
Okay.
So what begins that, the preface,
Go ahead. Yeah. They're young blood. We didn't do any prayers.
Oh, okay. Prayers.
So
let's see.
Wait a second. Is that on your outline?
Well, let me see. Is it on my
outline?
Have
you been skipping the prayers the last few weeks?
Well, we talked. No.
You went right through the offering and just went right into the service.
Well, prayer is certainly important. We talked.
He leaves it out.
Let me check my notes. No, I mean, really, we kind of covered prayer when we talked about the collect and just prayer in general a little bit, but we can talk about the prayer of the church.
Well, sure. I mean, go ahead. Is that all you do? You just do that little prayer at the beginning and you guys don't pray anymore?
No,
the sermon's gone on too long. We got to cut the prayer short here.
Something had to get cut. We can't cut the offering, certainly. We just talked about how important that
is. Don't think about that. But let me ask you a question, because obviously I'm just kind of pulling your leg here, because that's usually, is the prayer, is that part of the service of the word, or is it part of the service of the sacrament, do you know, or does it matter?
Well, you know, I think one answer is prayer is just throughout the whole service is kind of bathed in prayer. So you're praying all the time. You're praying with the sacrament, you're praying with the word, but the prayer of the church that we think of, that long formal prayer, I think would be considered the part of the service of the word. You know, typically, sometimes it is, like you said, right after the sermon even, or the prayers of the church many times. Part of the service of the word. Sometimes those, let's talk about prayer. Sometimes the prayers, they're pre-written. There's some neat resources.
I will confess that our own church body actually has something called Pray With Us. And every week.
Or Let Us Pray.
Thank you. I'm glad you know what it is. I just click on the internet. It's always up there. I don't have to look and see what it says. But so I use those. I like those because there's variety. And they usually try to focus, as you said earlier, in preparation of the sermon, some of the things that are going on. We had a prayer for the Ebola virus. Well, not for the Ebola, for the end of the Ebola virus. So I better just shut up.
The Ebola prayer. I appreciate that because a resource like that, it's kind of, it's on the internet, like you said, and it reflects maybe the Bible readings or what's happening in our world today. And I find that helpful too.
Just what I'm thinking. That's my problem. When I start doing my own prayers, it's pretty much focused on what's on my mind. And that might not cover the needs of the whole church or the whole community.
You bet. But that's okay too if you do it, off the cuff, extemporaneous, if you just kind of pray from the heart, if you want to call it that, that's okay too. But I'm with you. Sometimes I kind of get in this pattern then of saying the same phrases or the same things, and to use pre-written ones, I think that's helpful to have a broader, richer prayer life in some ways.
And boy, I just really want to pick up on what you said there, praying from the heart. And that's what's important, because I think there is some people that think, oh, well, doing it off the cuff, extemporaneous, as the big word that Matt, the young blood, used. That's better. It's better to do that than to do like I do, where you've got a pre-written prayer. But I think either way works.
Yes.
But it's crucial that we're not just reading the things, or we're just not spouting stuff off the top of our head, but we really are speaking from the heart. And either way, you can do that. Either way. And there's some advantages to both of them.
Well, and I think it's the same with the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we think of the Lord's Prayer as a model for prayer, just kind of showing us how we should pray on our own. And I'd say, well, yeah, it can be a model for prayer, you know, what to pray for in our own prayers, but it's also given to us as a prayer that we should actually pray as well. And even though it's this prayer that was taught to us by Jesus that we repeat again and again, it's still, like you said, from the heart.
And that's the thing, when you pray it that way, man, you could almost take one petition and think about it for hours.
Yeah.
Just what does it mean to lead us not into temptation?
Sure.
Of course, we can't do that in a church service, but again, we ought to be thinking about the words, not just reciting them as part of the ritual. But reciting the words in themselves is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
As long as there's a connection with the heart. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, and I think prayer, I'm glad you brought it up, because it's again.
Well, it is in the worship. I'm sorry.
And it's one of those key, it's a gift that God gives to us, and a privilege to come to Him in prayer.
Yeah.
And so often churches will pray specifically for needs in the congregation.
Yes.
You know, so-and-so's in the hospital.
We have a prayer list, and we print that out of the people in the town and in the church that have asked us for our prayers.
That's great. And to bring that before the Lord, for the mourning, for the rejoicing, whoever it is, to pray those petitions for each other. I think it's one way we weep with those we weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. We do it in the midst of our prayers, too. We rejoice and weep with them in prayer.
And thank you for that insight, too, because prayer does not have to necessarily just be about bad things.
No, certainly not.
But we also want to say thanks to God for the good things.
Oh, anniversaries, birthdays, yeah. You know, Thanksgivings, all sorts of things.
And it's fun with that prayer sheet because you see, oh, yeah, we've been praying for so-and-so because of this. Guess what? That prayer was answered. We can take them off the prayer sheet. Thank God for that.
Yes.
Of course, you also have the tension, then, that there's a lot of names on that prayer sheet that are there month after month after month.
Yeah.
But again, the reminder that God is still with them and their weakness and their trials. And sometimes prayers don't get answered immediately, but God is still a God of mercy and a God of love, and giving them the strength and the patience and the faith that they need to bear with that cross as well. So,
yeah. Yeah, most definitely. The prayer of the church, key part.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so
now can I go on?
You can go on now. Yes, you may.
Okay, so that was good. But the service on the sacrament. So we have the preface, or a proper preface, and that kind of changes depending on the church here. Kind of gives us a focus as we come before the Lord now, and as He comes to us in communion, and then that's followed by the Sanctus. Where we kind of say the holy, 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 you know. And really, I think in a way that if there's any part of the worship service that gives us a glimpse of heaven, perhaps it's in the Sanctus. Because here we're saying, again, like so many of our words in the worship service, they come right out of Scripture. And this comes from Isaiah in particular, Isaiah 6, where he gives this glimpse of the Lord on His throne in heaven and the heavenly host singing, holy, holy, holy. And here we join along with them in that same song. And it's a repeating of Scripture, but even more than that, we're preparing for the Lord's Supper, where quite literally we are in the Lord's presence. He comes in our presence, and we are joined with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, those who have gone before us in faith, here in worship of the Lord as He gives us the gift of His Son's body and blood.
And I love that phrase that's in some of the liturgies, and the angels and archangels and all the heavenly host, because it makes the hairs go up on the back of my head as I think about dear Katie Raymond, that was Lynn's mom, who is now numbered amongst those heavenly hosts, and my own wife, Janet, who for many years has been numbered amongst those heavenly hosts. And, people say that it's dull, it's boring. It's only dull and boring because you're not paying attention. and that is a problem, as we already said, that we just say the words. It's
sure.
just a ritual. But, man, if you really start thinking about the words and you think about the source of those words in the Holy Scripture, that's really something to think at that moment. Everybody that we've loved and cared for who were numbered amongst the saints is singing along with us.
Yeah.
And someday we'll be singing along with them right there in heaven, but we don't have to wait for heaven. That juncture of heaven and earth have happened right there at that moment in the liturgy and the worship, all together, the heavenly hosts and us singing these praises to God, holy, holy, holy.
And so we're joined in praise of the Lord as with those who have gone before us, but also joined with those we're worshiping with there that day, too. I think that's a neat picture, too, of that community and common bond we have with those we commune
with. Unity of the saints.
Yeah.
One last word, Matt.
Well, again, Happy New Year. God's blessings as you worship the Lord and as He gives you His gifts in worship. And we'll see you next week as we listen on Wrestling with the Basics.